Amen. Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. As we continue this study of God's order, and Paul established this order in verse 3. Okay? He established this order in verse 3 so that we could move on to verse 4. It's all tied together, right? So in verse 4, it's where we begin reading tonight. We'll go through verse 16. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, since he is in the image and the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from the woman, but the woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of women, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as the woman came from the man, even so man also comes through the woman. But all things are from God. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a woman has long hair, does not nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow to you today, praying for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you'll guide us to understanding. Help us to understand what you have put forth in your word, the principles that you have put forth, and help us that we may apply it to our lives, that we may grow in you and honor you through the lives that we live. Lord, we love you, and we pray your will be done in this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know this is very simple, and you just read through it and you got it. Amen. But I'm going to expound on it just a little bit anyway. As I said this morning, I've spent a lot of time this week, and I don't think that you ever get where you want to be. But in this case, we're going to pick up and there in verse 4. The first thing Paul says is that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, God set up the order this morning in verse 3. Now in verse 4, we're applying that order to worship. So we could say Paul is just very simply giving us what's appropriate in a worship setting. And he says it's not appropriate for a man to prophesy with his head covered because he dishonors his head. First thing I want to do is I want to focus on that word dishonor, what it means. It means literally to humiliate, or to put to shame. It is not an embarrassment. It is a humiliation, Paul is saying. And I want you to understand that this humiliation was not for the man that was praying or prophesying with his head uncovered. This was a humiliation to the head of that man, which was God, right? Or Jesus Christ. That is the application here. So this conduct by a man, it doesn't just humiliate the man, it humiliates his head or or Jesus Christ. And the question, I guess, would be, why? Why? What is the big deal? In the culture of that day, head coverings were worn by women. Okay? Basically, that was dressing like a lady. Now, you want today's application? Men should be men. They should look like men. He even goes so far as a little later on to talk about men having long hair. But the point to this is that a man should look like a man, and a man should be a man. And if you are observant, even the Jews today have messed this up. Have you ever seen the Jews with their prayer shawl? You know where that comes from? That comes from Moses. Moses had been on Mount Sinai, and he had been in the glory of God, and he come back down from that mountain. What was he like? His face shone. It glowed with the glory of God. And so the rabbis took that and have said, okay, since Moses covered his face, for you to go into the presence of God, you also should cover your head. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite of that. Moses did not cover his face when he was in the presence of God. He covered his face after he left the presence of God so that the children of Israel will not see that glory fade over time in between the two. And so, I think I've got a prayer shawl from when I was in Israel. They were peddling those pretty openly. But even that, in this day, it was not acceptable. And the second problem was, not only did it look like ladies' wear, but the second problem was that they were also growing their hair long. And the reason they were doing it, because it was a style that was worn by the pagans. And it was used in idolatrous worship. The point being, it was an attempt to assimilate into the idolatrous culture. The application is this. The church is trying, the church was trying to look like the world, to attract the world. And Paul's saying, no. You know, they wanted to fit in with the pagans. And never in the Word of God or since the Word of God was written was the church supposed to look like the world or act like the world. Some of the styles that are brought into the church today makes me shudder, just to be quite honest with you, you know. I've seen some pastors want to look young, and so they wear skinny jeans. I hadn't come to grips with that yet, okay? You know, some of the styles, I don't want to look like the world. I want to be a man. I want to look like a man. Not only do I just want to look like a man, I want to look like a man of God. That's Paul's point when you come into the house of the Lord to worship. Yeah? Be a man. Look like a man of God. Now let's talk about the women. Paul said it's also a shame for a woman to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered because it dishonors her head. Yeah. Who's the head? The man. Right? The man. Why in the world would this dishonor the lady's husband? Glad you asked. The culture of that day, a veil or a shawl was worn in public, and it was a symbol of a lady's submission to her husband. It was an advertisement, if you will, or a statement that lady was not available. Not only was she not available, she was not interested in any man other than her husband. That was her declaration to the world. And so if she removed that covering, it was a statement of liberation. It was to say that she was no longer subject to the authority of her husband. As a matter of fact, it also gave the implication that she was available to another man if he was interested. Even deeper, two words were used here of being shorn and being shaven. Of course, you know what shaven means. That word shorn, it means to cut your hair really short. And that's the way the harlot dressed in that day. As a matter of fact, that's how the men identified them. You see, if you wore a veil over your face or covering over your head, a man's not going to be attracted to something he cannot see. That's the point of this. But the harlot would take her veil off, cut her hair short, or some would shave. And that was that was the advertisement. She was open for business, right? That was her declaration that she was interested in a man. And Paul gets very serious here when he says, "For if a woman is not covered, let her be shorn. But if it's shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered." Paul's saying, one or the other. Go all the way or don't go at all. Don't, you know, and according to historians, there was kind of this women's liberation thing going on in Corinth. They wanted to, you know, didn't want to be under the authority of a husband. And Paul's backing up and he's saying, look, you know, if you're going to go all the way. If you're going to take your veil off, you're going to take your covering off, go all the way and look like the harlot that you're advertising yourself to be. Now that sounds kind of bold, but that's exactly what Paul is saying here. What is the application today? Should women wear head coverings today? Absolutely. All of you go out and buy you a veil and... No. No. That was the culture of that day. All right? However, a lady's dress should reflect her devotion to her husband. It should say, I'm not interested, to every man that would look her way. Now, you can be pretty and be modest, ladies. And that's Paul's point. A wife is to place herself under the authority of her husband, and that appearance should be such so as you have no interest in anyone else. And let me tell you, when your shorts are cut up to here, you're advertising. When your dress is cut too high, you're advertising. And I love you. I know that's bold, but that's a statement of fact. And if Paul can say it, I can too, right? But there's a deeper picture, even that reflects from the men and the women and the way they dress and the way they present themselves before the Lord. You know, the church should be such that everybody knows that we are under the authority of God. Amen? That we have no interest in any other religion, that we will not compromise, that we will not bow, that we will not bend to the demands of the world. We should conduct ourselves in the Word of God according to the Word of God, with no desire to fit in to the world system. I think that's the whole point here. He goes on. God's order continues. Paul continues to elaborate when he says, a man should not cover his head because he was created in the image and the glory of God. He's referring to Genesis chapter 1, verse 17, or verse 27, which says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, created he them. That word image, I don't think we quite grasp That word image means a visual representation of something. The man was created to be a visual representation or God's representative on this in this world. All right? Now, I'm not saying the woman was not. Yes, women and men, we both have the responsibility to represent God on this earth. Right? But man was created solely for the glory of God, period. And Paul's pointing out why this order is like it is. Man, the man was created solely for the glory of God. The woman was to cover her head because she was created for the glory of man. You go back to the Garden of Eden when God created Adam. He created Adam first. And he looked at Adam, and you remember what he said? It is not good that man should be alone. I thank God that he saw that it was not good that man should be alone. How about you, men? Because he was right. It was not good. So he created woman. Why? To be a helpmate, a helper, a companion. Right? So, I don't mean to sound, well, whatever it is. God created woman to be a helper for man. God created man solely for the glory of God. Ladies, perhaps you have an even deeper responsibility in that you have a responsibility to be the companion to man as well as to glorify God in your life. But that's Paul's point in the order that he gives. And he goes on to elaborate there in verse 8, for man is not from the woman, the woman's from the man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. This is where it gets really interesting. Why? Because of the angels. Why are you to be this chaste lady and submitting to the authority of your husband because of the angels? What are angels? Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? We're talking about the good angels, not the fallen angels here. Do you realize that God has given us angels to minister to us? If we are not submissive to God and to the will of God, how do those angels minister to us? They can't do what they're designed and instructed by God Himself to do. I think the angels, as well as God Himself, expect there to be an attitude of submission for the woman to the husband, as well the husband to Jesus Christ, so that they can do the job they're designed to do and minister and help God's children to live a life that honors and glorifies God. But here's where it becomes beautiful. And verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. You see, when we talk about the ladies being submissive to their husbands, it's real easy for the man to say, that's right. And Paul says, before you get that attitude, let me set you straight. Men, you're nothing without her. Ladies, you're nothing without him. How very dependent that we are on one another. I think it's beautiful that Paul points this out because it's not a power trip. It is a godly dependence that's intended from God Himself by creation. And it's a reminder, hey, man, just so you don't think you're too big, you came from a woman. You know? How that we need both sexes. I know we are living in an age where gender has become cloudy. I do not know how, but in this, it has. When men want to be women and women want to be men and some don't know what they want to be. God created man and women, and it is a beautiful creation in both cases. Men should be men. We should love our wives like Christ loved the church. We should love them so much that they have no other option but to love us back. And ladies, because of that love, you should be willing to submit or surrender yourself to the authority of your husband. But husbands, remember, when they do, we better be right in the direction we lead. We better be right. Because that's the expectation. The beautiful part is both men and women came from God. And what a wonderful creation when His creation lives according to the order that He set forth in His Word. It's a beautiful thing. But you know, sometimes we want to change God's order. And so Paul tacked on verse 16 here. If you get to think any other way, like men are more important than women, or women are more important than men, or we don't need women, or we don't need men, Lord help you if you're confused about gender. Here's the final instruction. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Put that in plain language, what Paul is saying is this. If you don't want to do it God's way, there are no other options. Right? That's his point. If you don't want to live according to God's order, there are no other options. As I said before, a lot of this is based on custom. And I know that, you know. We don't dress the same as they did in this day. But the principles are plain and crystal clear. And that's what Paul is putting forth. Let men be men. Let women be women. And let them appreciate one another with a godly love for what God has created. I'll tell you what, I thank God for the difference, because guys, y'all are not very pretty. And what a wonderful difference God has made. Hang on to that. You know, I've heard people say on occasion, you know, there's a big difference between men and women. And I thank God for every one of them. Isn't it good? Appreciate one another. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. God did a great work when He created men and women. And He told us how to make it work. This isn't a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants thing. He told us how to make it work. Now it's our responsibility to do it. That's the point of both messages today. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've come to the conclusion that life's not working. I can tell you why. You see, the good life starts not with money, not with a good job, and all these other things. The good life starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that fixes all your problems, but it sure does give you the strength to get through the problems that Satan throws at you. Today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, invites you to salvation. He gave His life. He died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin debt so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight, you're given that opportunity. Will you come to Jesus this evening? Maybe there's another need in your life. Whatever that need is, a burden, the altar's open. Maybe for rededication, you come. Whatever the need is in your life, know this one thing. Jesus is the answer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You that You have been very plain in Your Word of how life works. And that if we listen to what You say, that life works very well. Father, we rejoice in Your goodness. And now keep us mindful of how wonderful of a creation You have provided. Help our men to be men. And to love our wives so much so that they have no choice but to love us and to submit to our leadership as we submit to the leadership of Jesus Christ. Now in this invitation, Lord, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.